Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Ram Goldar and Tirmas Sechas Avodah Zorah Daf Ayin Hey, the fifth parak Hasocher Sapoel. The Zichud Sechas Avodah Zorah program has been dedicated to Zichud Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Olav Hashalom and Zichud Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Olav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah in the previous Daf taught that one may purify an Akum's wine press by drying it. Rav says it's dried with water, and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says it's dried with afer, ash. The Gemara clarifies that Rav meant water first and then ash as well, since water alone could not be called drying, and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana meant ash first and then water. There's no dispute. Rav refers to retivsa, a moist wine press, and Rabbah refers to yibeshta, a dry wine press, so water must be applied before the ash. Amoraim elaborate. Rav's yeshiva quote him saying, tarti tlas, two steps if dry, water then ash, and three steps if moist, ash, water, then ash. But Shmuel said, tlas arba, three steps if moist, as Rav ruled, and four if dry, water, ash, water, ash. Thus, they disagree if a dry wine press requires one or two applications of ash. This is how their discussion was recorded in Sur, but in Pumadisa, one step was added to each process of each respective opinion to account for the final water used to wash the ash away. Point number two, the next mission discusses the processes for purifying utensils purchased from idolaters. It states, Eshedarku lahatbil yatbil, a utensil's method of purification is to immerse in a mikveh, one immerses in a mikveh. Rashi explains this refers to utensils with no absorbed forbidden flavors. It then details the purification necessary for purging non-kosher absorptions from a used utensil following the principle of kabol kachpoto, the same way it was absorbed, that is the way it is expelled. A braisa teaches that all these kelim additionally require immersion in the mikveh of 40 saw. This is derived from the pasuk, which requires a removing flavor which was absorbed through fire to be removed with fire, which concludes v'tahir, and it will become pure, which teaches hosi v'chach kasev tahara acheres. The Torah added another requirement of purification, meaning tefillah. Rabbi Bar Avua adds that this requirement even applies to new kelim, which were never used for non-kosher foods. The Hayishan Velibnan Kochadashim Dam, because old kelim which were purified with fire are like new ones, Vafil Hachi Boy Tvila, and even so, they require Tvila, so the same applies to utensils which were never used. And point number three, Rav Sheshes challenged Rabbi Bar Avua's ruling that new utensils require Tvila. Ihachi Afila Zuzid de Sarbalanami. If so, even cloak scissors should also require Tvila, since the requirement is unrelated to flavor absorption. He answered, Kli Suda Amurim Baparsha, the section of the Torah teaching this law only discusses kelim for meals, meaning for food. Rabbi Ravua said further that the tefillah is only required for lekuchin, utensils purchased from an idolater, ukamaisa shahaya, like in the story that happened where the utensils of the Midyanim were acquired by the Jews, but shu'uin, utensils borrowed from idolaters do not require tefillah. Rabbi Yaakov taught that tefillah is only required for klimatchos, metal utensils which are mentioned in the parsha. Ravashi added that glass utensils require tevila, oil v'kinishtabru yesh lehen takana, since if they're broken, they can be repaired like metal utensils. Amraim debate the law of kunya, an earthenware vessel coated with lead, and the Gemara concludes, kasofo, its law is like its final state, meaning it's metallic coating, and it requires tevila. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that one may purify an Akum's wine press by drying it. Rav says it's dried with water, and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says it's dried with afer, ash. The Gemara clarifies that Rav meant water first and then ash as well, since water alone could not be called drying, and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana meant ash first and then water. There's no dispute. Rav refers to retivsa, a moist wine press, and Rabbi refers to yibeshta, a dry wine press, so water must be applied before the ash. Amoraim elaborate. Rav's yeshiva quote him saying, tarti tlas, two steps if dry, water then ash, and three steps if moist, ash, water, then ash. But Shmuel said, tlas arba, three steps if moist, as Rav ruled, and four if dry, water, ash, water, ash. Thus, they disagree if a dry wine press requires one or two applications of ash. This is how their discussion was recorded in Sur, but in Pumadisa, one step was added to each process of each respective opinion to account for the final water used to wash the ash away. Point number two, the next mission discusses the processes for purifying utensils purchased from idolaters. It states, Eshedarku lahatbil yatbil, a utensil's method of purification is to immerse in a mikveh, one immerses in a mikveh. Rashi explains this refers to utensils with no absorbed forbidden flavors. It then details the purification necessary for purging non-kosher absorptions from a used utensil following the principle of kabol kachpoto, the same way it was absorbed, that is the way it is expelled. A braisa teaches that all these kelim additionally require immersion in the mikveh of 40 saw. This is derived from the pasuk, which requires a removing flavor which was absorbed through fire to be removed with fire, which concludes v'tahir, and it will become pure, which teaches hosi v'chachasiv tahara acheres. The Torah added another requirement of purification, meaning tefillah. Rabbi Bar Avuah adds that this requirement even applies to new kelim, which were never used for non-kosher foods. The Hayishan v'libnan kachadashim dam, because old kelim which were purified with fire are like new ones. V'afil hachi boy tefillah, and even so, they require tefillah. So the same applies to utensils which were never used. And point number three, Rav Sheshes challenged Rabbi Bar Avuah's ruling that new utensils require tefillah. Ihachi afil zuzah de sarbalanami. If so, even cloak scissors should also require tefillah, since the requirement is unrelated to flavor absorption. He answered, Kli suda amurim b'parsha, the section of the Torah teaching this law only discusses kelim for meals, meaning for food. Rabbi Ravua said further that the tefillah is only required for lekuchin, utensils purchased from an idolater, ukamaisa shahaya, like in the story that happened where the utensils of the Midianim were acquired by the Jews, but shu'uin, utensils borrowed from idolaters, do not require tefillah. Rabbi Yaakov taught that tefillah is only required for klimatchos, metal utensils which are mentioned in the parsha. Ravashi added that glass utensils require tefillah, oil v'kinishtabru yesh lehem takana, since if they're broken, they can be repaired like metal utensils. Amraim debate the law of kunya, an earthenware vessel coated with lead, and the Gemara concludes, kasofo, its law is like its final state, meaning its metallic coating, and it requires tefillah. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Ayin Hey, and this was suggested to us by David Zev Glickman from London, as well as Gedalia Weiss. They both suggested that Ayin Hey is an Am Haaretz. So here goes. The Am Haaretz, who is totally confused, trying to figure out the process for drying out moist and dry wine presses using water and ash, had sent his son to Toivon the new kelim he bought from idolaters, not realizing an oil implied to kelim used for food and not his cloak scissors. Once again, in slow motion. The Am Haaretz, that must be on Daf Ayin Hey. The Am Haaretz, who is totally confused, trying to figure out the process for drying out moist and drying wine presses using water and ash, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the process for drying an Akum's wine press using Mayim and Afer, and also discuss how many applications must be done. So the Am Haaretz, who is totally confused, trying to figure out the process for drying out moist and dry wine presses using water and ash, had sent his son to Toivon the new kelim he bought from idolaters, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that all the kelim purchased from idolaters additionally require immersion in a mikvah of 40 saw. This is derived from the pasuk, which requires removing flavor which was absorbed through fire to be removed with fire, which concludes v'taher, and it will become pure, which teaches that the Torah added another requirement for purification, referring to tefillah. Rabbi Bar Avuah adds that this requirement even applies to new kelim, which were never used for non-kosher foods. So the Am Haaretz, who was totally confused trying to figure out the process for drying out moist and dry wine presses using water and ash, had sent his son to Toivon the new kelim he bought from idolaters, not realizing it only applied to kelim used for food and not his cloak scissors. Which reminds us, Rav Sheshes challenged Rabbi Bar Avuah's ruling that new kelim require tefillah. If so, even cloak scissors should also require tefillah, since the requirement is unrelated to flavor absorption. He answered, Kli suda amurim b'parsha. The section of the Torah teaching this law only discusses kelim for meals, meaning for food. So once again, the Am Haaretz, who is totally confused trying to figure out the process for drying out moist and dry wine presses using water and ash, had sent his son to Toivon the new kelim he bought from idolaters, not realizing it only applied to kelim used for food and not his cloak scissors. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf ein av. So the simon daf ein av is a donkey because donkeys go e-aw. So here goes. When the man giving donkey rides, that must be on daf ein av, e-aw. When the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king so I can give my donkey rides and I will pay you back. Which reminds us, Rav said it's permitted for a Jew to tell an idolater, go and satisfy the king's tax for me, which I'll reimburse. Although the Akum may pay with the Ayin Nesach, since he could pay with money, he's not acting as a Jew shaliach if he chooses to pay with the Ayin Nesach. So when the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king, so I can give my donkey rides and I'll pay you back, the goy did meshicha on some yain nesach to pay the tax, which reminds us, the Gemara brings malchokas whether meshicha is kona by Ovid Kochavim. So when the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king, so I can give my donkey rides and I'll pay you back, the goy did meshicha on some yain nesach to pay the tax, but then got into trouble when he stole less than a shava prutim from a yid, rendering himself Chai Misa, which reminds us, Ravina brought proof that Mashiach is Kona for an Akum from Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. Ben Noach Nerag al Pachas Meshava Pruta. A Ben Noach is executed for stealing from a Jew something worth less than a Pruta's value, and the stolen item is not subject to being returned. Although this amount is insignificant for a Jew, it's significant for a Gentile and sufficient to incur the Ben Noach's death penalty for stealing. Still, because the Jew is mocho the small loss, the Ben Noach need not return it. If Mashiach would not acquire for an Akum, why is he killed for stealing if he did not acquire the stolen item? Dafayim Beis. So the Simur Dafayim Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. The caterer who told the customer that if I ever sell this delicious cake, that must be on Dafayim Beis, thick piece of cake. The caterer who told the customer that if I ever sell this delicious cake, I'll sell it to you, and then sold it to someone else, which reminds us, once a man told someone, if I ever sell this field, I'll sell it to you, and made a kinyan on this guarantee. Later, he sold it to someone else. Rav Yosef said, kana kama, the first one acquires the field because of their agreement. Abai objected, but he didn't set a price for the sale, so the guarantee isn't effective, meaning the buyer was not fully committed since the seller can ask an exorbitant price. So the caterer who told his customer that if I ever sell this delicious cake, I'll sell it to you, and then sold it to someone else, had his Jewish employee pour wine for idolaters and spurts, because he held Nitzach Chibur regarding Yain Nesach, which reminds us, Rav Chista advised Jewish wine sellers to pour for idolaters and spurts to avoid prohibiting their own wine, because he held Nitzach Chibur regarding Yain Nesach. So, the caterer who told the customer that if I ever sell this delicious cake, I'll sell it to you, and then sold it to someone else, had his Jewish employee pour wine for idolaters and spurts because he held Nitzach Chibur regarding Yain Nesach, but failed to stop his non-Jewish employee from pouring wine from a barrel into a wine pit, where the flow descending from the barrel's edge and downward became forbidden due to the employee's koach, which reminds us, wine poured with the koach of an akum only prohibits what comes out of the barrel. Since wine moved by an akum's force is prohibited only rabbinically, wine which went outside the barrel, the rabbis decreed to prohibit, but regarding that which remained inside the barrel, the rabbis did not decree to prohibit it. Daf Ein Gimel. So the Simur Daf Ein Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. At the Yain Nesach experiment conducted in giant eggshells? That must run on Daf Ein Gimel. Giant ostrich eggs. At the Yain Nesach experiment conducted in giant eggshells, one man spilled wine slowly into Yain Nesach, watching each drop become batel as it fell in, which reminds us, if one pours wine into Yain Nesach even for the entire day, so the wine is eventually far more than a 60th of the total, Rishon batel, every first drop of wine is nullified as it falls in, so the wine remains forbidden. So at the Yain Nesach experiment conducted in giant eggshells, one man spilled wine slowly into Yain Nesach, watching each drop become batel as it fell in, while another was amazed that water in a mixture can be mevatel the Yain Nesach, which reminds us, Ravin quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that if Yain Nesach fell into a pit of wine, the Nafusham Kiton Shemaim, and a flask of water also fell in. Roin is a heter ki o eino. We view the permitted wine as if it were not there, Vashar Main Rabin Olavu Mevatunoso. And as for the remaining prohibited wine, the water overcomes it and nullifies it. So at the Yain Nesach experiment conducted in giant eggshells, one man spilled wine slowly into Yain Nesach, watching each drop become batel as it fell in, while another was amazed that water in a mixture can be mevatel the Yain Nesach, and the third was trying to determine how much wine is needed to be nos and tam into an eggshell full of water, which reminds the Gemara brings a malchokas whether min b'mino is prohibited with a mashu or benos and tam, and we learn that min b'she'eno mino is benos and tam. Daf Ein Dalet. So the Simur Daf Ein Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that must be on Daf Ein Dalet, aid. The witness who saw a shore and Niskel enter a pen and get mixed in with the other oxen, making them all Asur, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Eil Asurin B'Osrin B'Koshu. The following items are prohibited and prohibit a mixture with even a minimal amount, meaning they're never batel, even among 1,000 permitted pieces. Yain Nesach, an idol. Orels levuvim, heart-pierced animal skins, shohan niskal, an ox sentenced to be stoned, an egel roof of the birds brought by Matzora, Nazar's hair, Petr Chamor, a firstborn male donkey, following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that it is Aser Bahana, Basa Bachalav, meat cooked with milk, the Sira Mishtoeach, and Chun animals which were shechted in the Azara. So the witness who saw a Shohan Niskal enter a pen and get mixed in with the other oxen, making them all usser, was standing near another witness who testified that the wine cellar or barrels containing one barrel of Yain Nesach can be sold to a goy, minus the value of the Yain Nesach barrel, which reminds us, in the next Mishnah, the Tanakhama rules that if Yain Nesach fell into a pit of wine, it's all forbidden in benefit. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the entire mixture can be sold to an Akum except for the Yain Nesach's value, meaning he can't charge for the Yain Nesach. Rav says the halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel on a case of chavis b'chavios, a prohibited barrel which became mixed among permitted barrels. So the witness who saw a Shohan Niskal enter a pen and get mixed in with other oxen, making them all usser, was standing near a witness who testified that the wine cellar or barrels containing one barrel of Yain Nesach can be sold to a goy minus the value of the Yain Nesach barrel, and got wet and dirty when a yid was drying a nearby stone wine press to kasher, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Gashel Evan Shizvasa of Ovid Kochavim, a stone wine press which an idolater coated with pitch, in which wine was commonly added, Menagva Behitahora. One dries it and it is purified from forbidden wine. The Gemara explains it is dried with water and ash. Revi says a press made of wood can also be dried, but the Chachamim say Yikuf is Azefes, he must peel off the pitch coating because the greater absorption in this thicker coating is not purified by drying. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do we machok is whether Mashiach is kona by Ovid Kochavim? That's on daf Ayin Aleph. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you discuss Ben Noach, who steals less than a Shava Pruta? That's on daf Ayin Aleph. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that only kelim used for food require tefillah? That's on daf Ayin Hey. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you discuss kashering a gas, a wine press, through the process of drying it with water and ash? That's on daf Ayin Dalet. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you discuss leaving tahor foods with an Amar Aretz and the fact that they're not particular about their friends touching the owner's taharos? That's on daf Samech Tes. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that if Yain Nesach fell into a pit of wine and a flask of water also fell in, we view the permitted wine as if it were not there, and as for the remaining prohibited wine, the water overcomes it and nullifies it. That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that new kelim purchased from idolaters must be toveled? That's on daf Ayin Hey. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that Rishon Batel? That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we discuss the process for drying out an Akum's wine press using Afer and Mime and how many applications must be done? That's on daf Ayin Hey. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn the list of things which are forbidden and are Osrin Bekoshu, such as Ashor and Niskal? That's on daf Ayin Dalet. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.